Amen. God is good. Thank everybody. Amen. It truly is the most wonderful time of the year. And you heard Minister Dave say we're not celebrating the day he was born on. We celebrate the fact that he was born. And, you know, and I titled this sermon before we go to our scripture in Titus chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 of Titus chapter 3. This is a Christmas series. Okay, people say, well, Pastor, how are you going to get a Christmas series out of Titus? Well, I'm going to get a Christmas message out of Titus. Okay, because I've been messing around with Titus. It's been coming up. I said, I'm going to preach Titus. So, you know, I did what they tell preachers you ought not do, find a scripture and preach it. But I'm going to preach this one because America needs Christmas. Amen. Let's all stand. America needs Christmas. You're going to find out what I mean in a minute here out of Titus chapter 3. Think about the title of the sermon, America Needs Christmas. And when I read Titus chapter 3, 1 through 7, you ought to see it. It ought to jump out at you that the people of Crete, like the people of Youngstown, like the people in Chicago, like people in Detroit, like people in Dallas, need Jesus. Amen. Put them in mind. To be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to do, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. That's a Christmas message there. Amen. That's why it came. Amen. That's why he came. That's why the word of God must be preached. Amen. Precious Lord, I just pray right now, Father God, you just give me the power to preach, the courage to preach. Preaching to a fallen world, preaching to a cursed world, preaching to an evil world full of hatred and malice, serving divers lusts and pleasures, disobedient, hateful, and hating one another. Father God, we need to hear it. For such were some of us. Father God, I just pray right now that through the preaching of your word that we have preached someone out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, thank you in advance for your great work. Because you said in your word that your word would not return void. So we putting it out in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Crete. Pastor Titus, Paul had paid a visit to Pastor Titus at Crete and gave Pastor Titus a message for the Cretans. They were evil people, wicked people. And Paul gave Titus a message. Amen. And he said, preach hard to him. He said, preach hard to him. This is what he said. Now somebody said, you're making that up, Pastor, because you like to preach hard. No, he said, preach hard to him. Look at Titus 2. He says, here's what you need to preach. And this is what every one of us should be preaching. And if you had a church and it's not being preached, then it ought to be preached. Pastor, why aren't you preaching the gospel? Because we need to hear it. Yeah. Your nephew may come here. Your unsaved friend may come here. Your unsaved cousin may come here. Or your unsaved kids may be here. Uh-huh. They need to hear it. They need to hear it over and over and over until they get to the point where I'm just tired of hearing it. They keep on hearing it. Then most of all, the preacher need to hear it. Paul says this in 2:12. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Here's the gospel. Who gave himself for us, preach this, Titus, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now watch verse 15. These things speak, these things preach, these things teach and exhort and rebuke with all authority. And let no man despise you. And let no man stop you. They don't want to hear it, keep preaching it till they want to hear it. Amen. And if they never want to hear it, you can do like Pilate and put your hands in the water and say, I wash my hands of it. But there's a responsibility that the word of God must be preached. Amen. It just must be preached. I expect to hear it every Friday when you guys get up here. I expect to hear it this Friday. I expect to hear the word of God preaching. I hope you guys come to the expectation that you hear it every Sunday. Amen. Amen. America. America needs Jesus. America needs Jesus. America needs Christmas. Some folks say, well, Walmart, you know, I thank God for Walmart. I thank God for Walmart. Leave Walmart doing something. You walk in Walmart now, it's Christmas. Okay? You walk in Walmart January, it's Valentine's Day. But you walk in there in December and November, it's Christmas. It's a wonderful time of year. So, we think about it. We think about Crete and we think about Youngstown. And I was trying to put the two together. Crete was a tough city. It was a prosperous city. It was a tough city. And again, when you start thinking about the people of Crete, listen to what the Word of God said about Crete. Listen to what the Word of God said about Crete. And Titus, I believe it's Titus 1. Maybe I'm wrong. About Crete. Okay. Verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, as he had been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly, watch this now, and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, meaning the Jews, who should have known better. Here's Paul talking to Titus. Now, you see, and this is, you know, people run to the ministry and they run to the pastorate. This tough work. Amen. Okay? Better know what you're getting into. Amen. Whose mouth must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not. Why? For filthy lucre's sake. They preaching for money. And when you preach it for money, God always call it filthy. Yeah. It's always filthy when you take the word of God and you twist it and turn it and make it say what you wanted to say so people can give you money. Uh-huh. One of themselves, now watch this, even a prophet of their own said the Christians are always liars. Always liars. Evil beasts. Slow bellies. Now, that's interesting. People say, Pastor, you got to explain some of that. Let me tell you what they meant. The Christians said that they had the body of Zeus, the God, the king of all gods. They said they had a misconception that they had the body of him. Even though he was nothing but an idol, they said the body was buried in Crete. And they stood by that. And then that's where that the lie and whole theory comes from. And Paul calls them evil beasts, even though this was an established, prosperous town. There would have been no animals there. There would have been no wild beasts there. Okay? But he's saying the people represented that. They called them evil beasts. He called them evil beasts. Let me tell you something. We got some evil beasts running around Youngstown. Okay? Doing some stuff. Okay, they don't have all these alarms on cars and houses and stuff because everybody nice. All right, most of us in here, we try to get in the house by 9 o'clock. It get dark, it get a little shady. Okay, where you at?
That's right.
Then Paul says they're slow bellies. You know what that means is all they worry about is themselves. All they're worried about is pleasing themselves. They're not worried about nobody else. And to God, that is a wicked person. You don't care about nobody else. It's all about you and what you can do for me. It's me, myself, and I. One teacher called it meology. It's all about me. And now Paul hit these guys. And he's telling Titus, he's giving Titus a charge. Listen, he said, Titus, you got your hands full. Look at verse number 3. I'm going to go right to verse number 3. I'm going to try to get into this because I know it could get a little long on you guys. Paul says, this is how we were. This is Crete. This is Youngstown. This is Crete. This is Youngstown. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. And I'm telling you why we need Christmas, why we need the Lord. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. You know what that means? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And there was a time when all of us in here lived like there was no God. And the people of Crete was living like that right now. They were living like it. There was no God. And we know folks. We got family members. We got loved ones. We're going to see some over the holidays. We're going to run into them at the mall. We're going to run into them at Walmart. We're going to run into them at Dollar General. They're living like there's no God. They're living like there's no God. Foolish. Foolish. Paul calls them foolish. And we don't like calling folks foolish. We think that's a sin. You call somebody foolish, you don't have a right to call nobody foolish. Well, you know what? Word of God says this in Proverbs 9:13. It says a foolish woman. I'll start with the women. A foolish woman is glamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. That's Proverbs 9:13. Okay, now glamorous means noisy. Noisy. Anybody ever met some noisy women? Got to be heard. Got to be seen. You know, got to be the topic of conversation. Okay? This is what it says. A vain and empty woman are those that make noise. You ever had something empty? Put a penny in an empty jar. Sometimes I go to a Warren Harding football game, or even when I was going to a Liberty game, this guy drove me nuts. And for whatever reason, wherever I sat, he was always close. And he had a milk carton with about 20 pennies in it. And all he did, the whole lot. And I'm like, really? And then the last couple of years, Liberty wasn't doing nothing, so he didn't shake it that much. But Job said this, for wrath killeth the foolish man. You know what I'm saying? You watching the news and you watching all these men, all these gang man bangers, and all these brothers getting killed. You know, a lot of the reason why they get killed, because they foolish.
Amen.
They foolish. They doing foolish things. They doing foolish things. It says, the wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. The writer of Psalms says this, so foolish was I. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee, before God. A foolish man and an ignorant man to God is a beast. And that's what Paul was saying to Titus. He said, Titus, you got to preach to these evil beasts. See, some of us think that the evil beasts don't need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
You know why I know that? because I was an evil beast.
Amen.
And again, a man preached the gospel to me. He preached the gospel to me. I need to hear it. So when you hear it and you know what it did for you, then that's when you got a testimony. Because God wants you to tell folks what happened to you. How did it happen? And nobody told me because, you know, you deserved prosperity. You deserve good health. You deserve hell. That's what I heard. You deserve hell. Okay? And that's where you head if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the gospel. He told Titus to preach the gospel. And you're preaching the gospel to folks. Not only the second point he said here, they were disobedient. Disobedient. Know what that word means, really? Unwilling to be persuaded. Knowing you're telling them right. Uh-huh. Knowing you're telling them right. You know, some of the people here listen. Man, I know he's saying good stuff. I know he's saying the right stuff. But if I accept and receive what he says as truth, this gonna cost me something. It's gonna cause me to make some changes that I'm not willing to make. It's gonna disrupt my way of living. See, this is what Jesus told the rich young ruler. Jesus told the rich young ruler, when the rich young ruler said, "What must I do to inherit kingdom life?" What Jesus told him was gonna cause him problems. It was going to cause him problems. Paul in Titus 1:16. Watch this now. They profess that they know God. That they know God. That word "know" means they profess that they're in a relationship with God. That they listen to God and they know God. And God knows them and they profess to know God. Watch what Paul says. Now this is what Paul said. But in works, they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. That's strong stuff. This is who Paul was preaching to. And he was telling Titus, I can see Titus now. I can see Titus now because I know how I am when I'm up here getting ready to preach. My stomach is growling. My legs are shaking. And I'm just nervous. I'm just nervous. I'm like, oh. And I can see Paul telling Titus. And Paul probably got knots on his head from being stoned. You know, Paul was beaten everywhere he went. And I'll be looking at Titus like, Titus looking at Paul like, I don't want all them crocodile knots on my head. Paul was the best. Probably had one eye probably shed because he had problems. Can you imagine a person coming to you with problems telling you to preach the gospel? That's why these guys come dressed all up nice. They got Lexus and Beamers and they got Bentleys. They living like kings. They said, preach. And that's easy to accept. Man, you mean if I preach like you, I can have nice stuff? I don't have to work no more? I can just live off the people, have a pastor anniversary and tell them I want this much money? That's easy to accept. Well, if somebody come in here, black eye, teeth knocked out, and just, you need to preach the gospel, and what's going to happen to you is going to happen. What happened to me is going to happen to you because what happened to Christ happened to me. Amen. You like to preach the gospel, you better like wood. Because you're going to get nailed to it if you preach it. You know, I say this now. Now, I know some of y'all got big aspirations. Let me say this. If some of y'all got big aspirations, maybe want to be a movie star one day, you know, lead this church. All right, lead this church because, see, the people on age that TV show to help build houses and stuff, they found out what church they went to. And they pulled up some of the preacher's sermons, and he preached against homosexuality. He preached against all kind of stuff. And they say, these folks go to his church. So I'm just warning you, let's just throw that out there. You know, if you think you one day want to be a congressman or something or a movie star and you're going to be famous, you know, you're going to have to get up out of here.
Amen.
Because if they pull some of these sermons off sermon audio and say, you set up under that? You be bad. Y'all have to disown me like Obama did Reverend Wright. Yeah. They were disobedient. They didn't want to be persuaded. Even though they seen it, they watched it, they knew it was true. They like, no, I'm doing too much. I'm doing big things. They were deceived. And Paul's giving a whole laundry list of why America needs Christmas. Folks are foolish. They are disobedient. He can use this word here. They are deceived. They are deceived. They've been deceived. They've been misinformed. You know, we got a city full of folks misinformed. Now, I told y'all some stuff now. You know, I ain't going to keep bringing folks telling me, you know, they speaking in tongues and they been to heaven and they seen Jesus and they've been risen from the grave. You hearing so much bizarre stuff anymore. They've been healed and all this stuff. Listen, let me tell you something. You can be healed and healed and healed. One day you ain't going to be healed. Okay? Y'all know what I always say. Somebody, every day I see people, have a good morning. Ray don't even say it to me no more. He say hi. He say good morning. I say, what's so good about it? And he used to say, well, I woke up. And my standard answer, and I do it with everybody, is it going to be a good day when you don't wake up? Amen. Is that going to be a good day? That day when somebody come in the room and poke you and you don't move? Is that going to be a good day? Or is the funeral home going to have to really work hard to get a smile on your face? I don't even know why anybody would say they were saved would want to come back. They really believe heaven is what it really is.
Amen.
Deceived, betrayed, misled, misinformed, defrauded, cheated. I think about Bernie Madoff. How about Bernie Madoff? Listen, he deceived folks. But he no different than most preachers. You know, most preachers ought to be put in jail. Because they deceiving you all day. See, Bernie Madoff is in jail for 150 years. He's going to be in prison for 150 years. Now he's 80 years old, so he ain't going to be in prison for 150 years. But he has an opportunity in that prison to get right with God. See, if you die misinformed, deceived, and defrauded, you don't have an opportunity. See, Bernie Madoff is in a better place than a whole lot of church folk. Paul says this about deceived folks. He says this in Ephesians 4. He said 4:17. He said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. How did they walk? In the vanity of their mind, empty in the mind. Having their understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God. Through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their hearts. Yeah. Blind. See, the word of God is designed to open your heart up. Give your eye. Give your heart sight. Okay? Yeah. Give your heart sight. Remember when Paul and his entourage went to Thyatira and they met Lydia. And the word of God said Lydia was a Jewish proselyte. But the word of God said when she heard Paul. God opened her heart. See, the preached word is not designed to open your mind. It's designed to open your heart. Because out of the heart, the mouth not only speaks, but there dwells the issues of life. They were foolish. They were disobedient. They were deceived. And they were, here's what they said, they were serving. That's a powerful word now. Serving me. They were actively doing this. They were serving various lusts. That's why America leads Christmas. Because we live in a country that we serving lust. Slaves to our passions and slaves to our pleasures. And we live in a pleasure-filled world. And if it makes me feel good, I got to do it. I can't stop doing it. Enslaved to it. Enslaved to it. Listen. Paul again in verse 19 of that same Ephesians, he said, who being in past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. I'm going somewhere now, folks. Y'all hanging here with me. Amen. Thank you, Vaughn. Here's an interesting one. Here's out of all the ones that I found, I thought this was the most interesting one. They were living in malice and envy. Living in malice and envy. Malice is living in evil, all kinds of evil. Romans 1:29 puts like this: being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. They were living in malice. You know, we live in a world today, folks living in malice. And the social media makes it even easier. Okay, you don't have to go house to house like the Word of God said. Now you can just stay right there and just live in malice and just say stuff that you will never back up. Amen. Living in malice. Listen, the boy down Ohio State University, living in malice. Malice is a form of hatred. Just an evil, a malicious type person. That's why you get the word maliciousness. This is that your mind is constantly dwelling on evil. And it's being fed by the media, the HBO and Cinemax and all the shows that come on. It's all murderous stuff. And you get all this stuff in. And then when the adversity come and a trial come, and now you're going to act on what's in you. Okay, if you full of evil, when trials come, adversity come, evil coming. Evil going to show up. Now, I hear people all the time, you know, I had to give them peace of my mind. Well, if that mind is controlled by evil, amen. Let me say this. It's not new. It's not Paul. When Paul addressed every church, when he addressed the Ephesian church, problems. If he was to come here, he would be able to say the same thing. He said this in Ephesians 4, talking about the Ephesian church. He's saying this. He's preaching to saved folks now. This is a message to God's people. He's writing to the Ephesian church. Listen to what he says. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why would he have to say that to a church? He preaches to God's people because we have problems. In the church. In the church. All this stuff going on. Folks need to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why would Paul have to say it? Because it's lacking. He says this to the Colossian church. He said, but now ye also put off these things. He's talking to the Colossian church. Folks that say they've been born again, put off these things. What things, Paul? Anger, wrath, and malice, and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He's talking to the Colossian church. Peter had the same problem. Peter preached in his church. He says this: therefore, lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. These are preachers preaching to their people. Y'all don't want to hear it. Nobody want to hear it. I like my malice. You know, that's my name, Cole. I'm a little malice. Listen, 14-year-old girl Warren shot her father in the head. And she get rave reviews. Oh, she did. Oh. Yeah, but no record ever of her father being abused to her. You know what happened? Know what the sister say happened? He took her cell phone away. Her grades was falling and she was hanging around the wrong people. He took her cell phone away. Now, folks, listen, I need my cell phone. I turn around. I come back a little bit, get my cell phone. But then you see people say, well, she was being abused. She wasn't being abused. She was being abused. She wasn't being abused. Let me tell you what the problem was. Come on. Okay, make it plain. Uh-huh. Here's the problem was, when you have a godless house, and God is not a part of the equation, look, we liable to do anything. If you sit up in here and talk about, how can she do that? You can do it. Amen. Without Christ, you can do anything. I used to tell the folks work out at the prison, they look at the inmates come in, and they look down on them. I see them, they look down on them. That's the one that did that. That's the one that did that. That's the one that did that. Let me tell you something. There ain't a sin. Amen. Man is not capable of doing. I would look at them inmates and I would say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, there ain't a sin that I could not commit. And if God was to take his hand off me and God would say, I'm leaving you on your own, I'll bust hell wide open. So don't get beside yourself. Okay? NFL player, just road rage. Just get gunned down in the middle of the street. Why? Because folks is living in malice. You don't know what you're allowed to run into. And you need to be ready. Now, there's a woman stepped out of JCPenney's. Stepped out of JCPenney's in the Southern Park Mall. Stepped out of JCPenney. He had a little package getting ready for Christmas. It's the most wonderful time. Boom, gone. Let me tell you something. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Okay? Because that could have been one of y'all. I don't do JCPenney, so if it had been Macy's, I'd have threw myself in. I got a Macy's card. But Jackie shop at Macy's. Penny's, brother. Thought about Jackie. I said, Jackie go to Penny's, but she's 50, 50 years old. I said, ain't Jackie. But I got to preach to Jackie. See, I say that because I got to preach to Jackie every Sunday. Make sure she's right. Make sure I have something to work with if that happens to her. See, folks, some folks, y'all so superstitious. Oh, you speaking that into existence. Let me tell you something. Folk messed up, man. They've been deceived, man. No, them words got power. You speaking life and death. Power. Let me say, I ain't gonna tell nobody they're gonna die because the word of God said you're gonna die. I said the point is appointed unto man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. I'm not speaking death. You got an appointment with death. You, and you take babies to the doctor, you take old folks to the doctor. You know, babies die and old folks die. Lord have mercy. USC, the campus of USC, a professor, he up in there teaching, and somebody just come in there and stab him up, kill him. Yeah. Living in malice. How about this one? Hateful. Now, this is the church you're talking to. Is there some hateful folk up in here? Why God put this message on my heart? Is there some hateful folk up in here? I ain't getting in the gift exchange. I'm not getting in no gift exchange. Wrong person might get my name. I ain't buying nobody. I hate nothing for Christmas. You just prayed a couple weeks ago in front of the old church. Hateful. I ain't even going to the Christmas party. I hate them folks. Now, yeah, hateful and hating one another. Now, that's an interesting word. Now, I'm going to explain some of these words. That's an interesting word. That word hateful is an interesting word. I'm sorry, Z. I get Z all cranked up. She hear my voice. I get loud. She get like, that dude crazy. Hateful. You know what the word mean? Here's what the word means. See, we got the Western idea of the word hateful. I'm going to give you this. Hateful means this. It says, our conduct was such as to be worthy of the hatred of others. Hateful don't mean I'm hateful. It means that I'm so messed up that I deserve to be hated. Woo-wee. They say, woo-wee. Let me read it again. Our conduct was such as to be worthy of the hatred of others. You deserve to be hated. You so, Cindy used this word, you act so ugly. You hear anybody else use that? You act so ugly. I say, Cindy, let me tell you something. Meryl Streep is an actor. Will Smith is an actor. Denzel is an actor. Tom Cruise is an actor. These folks ain't acting. That's who they are. They just hateful. They just ugly. All the time. This is not an act. See? Denzel can be Malcolm X 1 week, and he can be president the next. He's an actor. But when your life is such that it is consistent all the time, you ain't acting. Hateful. Hateful. The natural, here we go, the natural condition of those left to their own moral poverty. Natural condition. Let me tell you something. You don't get saved. I don't care how much money you make and how popular you are. If you're not saved and you hateful, God looks at you and says, I died for you. I preached to you and you act so ugly. You act so ugly. I was talking to my brother-in-law. And, yeah. I said, you know, I don't have to watch the news a whole lot or watch a lot of what's going on because I got Romans 1. And I got Romans 1, 28 and 32. And it tells me what's going on in the world. See, I don't need to keep up with it all the time. I know what's going on in the world because I know what God's word say. Okay? Listen. Listen, when we start talking about these people, and one of the words I use is implacable. I'm getting to implacable. You know what implacable means? Anybody heard that word implacable? I'm going to read all this just to get to that word implacable because God came for the implacable. That word implacable means here's a person who refuses to reconcile, refuses to forgive anybody. You know what? You got people like that? You know how I know? Because I was like that. You cross me, I'm done. I'm done forever. I don't believe in forgiveness. Only suckers and lames forgive. I was implacable. And then when you get saved, you got to go and you got to go and start doing like Zacchaeus did. Start forgiving folks and paying folks back. I'm sorry. I apologize. Because see, you'll know when the love of God comes into your heart. Because it's going to force you to do the things that God does. God loves. You're going to tell me that you love God and don't love people. You love God who died to forgive us of all our sin, but you can't forgive nobody. Then say, see, you out of God's will. You're not a child of God. You're not a man of God. You're not a woman of God. You're not a child of God if you can run around here not forgiving nobody. And you got attitudes of folk hating one another and hateful. You implacable. That's a good word. I'm going to use that. Implacable. Watch this now. How did they get there? Watch this. Here's Romans 1. Folks don't like this, but I'm going to read it anyway because this is why Jesus came. This is why Christmas is important to America, to Youngstown. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Why? To do those things which are not convenient. Now, if you feel like you're going to do what you're doing and you know what you're doing is wrong and you think you're going to do it for the rest of your life, maybe God has turned you over. Maybe you got a reprobate mind. I would hope not. Sitting up under the word of God. This is why I sit here and preach so hard and sweat so much up under here. Because I don't want nobody to be turned over to a reprobate mind. Being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness, full of envy and murder and debate and deceit, malignity and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections. Leave your kid in a car. 90 degrees and just go into a bar, go into a casino. Leave your kid in the car. That's without natural affection. Here's our word. Implacable. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in doing that to them. Excuse me. Sound like some gangster rappers, they have pleasure cussing and talking about raping folks and sex and all that. And they're just making millions of dollars. Folks, you know, some of my kids won't even buy it unless it's cussing and swearing in it. I ain't buying that. Ain't no cussing and swearing in it. and sing in the choir. They doing the impossible. They doing what the Word of God said is impossible. You can get salt water and fresh water out of the same tap. They doing. I listen. You want to see something? That's a miracle. I go listen to some of these choirs, and I say, he getting fresh water and salt water at the same tap.
Amen.
Sing. I'm going up to yonder, and then and later on that night, listening to all kind of cussing, and I just wanna. I can't wait to. Y'all know the rest of it. You don't want to know what I want to do to you, but I'm going up to yonder. You ain't going up yonder. You going down to yonder. Y'all watch this now. I didn't gave you all that to get to the good part. Get to the good part. They said amen. They said, I'm getting to the good part. Watch this now. But when God's love and kindness showed up. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. How about that? I listened to a little bit of Sunday school lesson today. They told me to be quiet because I came in too late. I heard you. Claire set me up, but that's cool. But after the love of and then kindness of God showed up. Ain't you glad he showed up? Somebody said, amen, I'm glad he showed up. I couldn't have died like that. I couldn't have died hating one another, being hateful, full of malice, serving divers, lust, being disobedient and foolish. Die like that. You can't die like that. Amen. You can't die like that. You should not want to live another day like that. Amen. That's what makes Christmas so wonderful to me. Because Jesus, in the love of God, John 3:16 is Christmas. God so loved the world. The world of Crete, the world of Youngstown, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, Lance gave me a piece of paper the other day. I was working on my sermon. She gave me a talk about all the gifts. You know all the gifts. When you give gifts, y'all know what that means. She said, Grandma, I want this grandma. We was at the outlet mall, and people just, you know, grandmother just out there with listens. They got listens. Huh? Little Johnny wants this. They're in a panic mode. Now, y'all know I spiritualize everything, so that was a rough trip for me because I'm watching these folks. You know, I went to the Under Armour store and I was done. And they just running around like chickens. Johnny wants this. Listen, you don't understand what giving a gift means. Giving a gift represents God's gift to us. Now, God has given us gifts, and we ought to be excited about it. When you give somebody a gift, you ought to explain to them, I'm giving you this gift. It's symbolic of Christ giving us life. It's symbolic of Christ dying for us. We just tear it open. A lot of kids play with the box. $80 toy, they playing with the box. This is fun. Let me go. People, listen. God gave us. He gave us mercy. He gave us the gift of mercy. That's a good one there. What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. He gave us mercy. Paul says this, and I said this last week in that great policy number. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Saving grace is a gift of God. God dying on Calvary was a gift of God. Here's another gift. The gift of being regenerated and renewed by a spirit. Watch how Titus says it. Paul says to Titus, teach them this, that they are saved through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Clean them up. Wash them up. Get them ready to receive Jesus Christ. Get them ready. How about the gift of being born again? How about the gift of being born again? The opportunity to be born again. God gives you the power to call out. He was offering this to Nicodemus. He was offering Nicodemus the gift of eternal life. And Nicodemus was asking, well, you got to be a man from God, because no man can do these things. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you can call for it. You can ask for it. How about the gift of obedience? Anybody ask for that for Christmas? Is that on anybody's lips? I want to be more obedient. Is anybody ask you for that? I want to be more obedient. I want to be an obedient man of God. Because if you be an obedient son of God, a man of God, a brother of God, a woman of God, a child of God, you're going to be a better child.
Amen.
You're going to be a better husband. Let me tell you something. Ain't no such thing as you receiving Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you don't become a better husband.
Amen.
If you become worse, then there's a problem. You got to become better.
Amen.
All right? You know, your wife tell you, I got saved today. She got to be a better wife. If your child say, I'm a Christian, they'll be great. Great kids. I was telling Ray on the way to church, I said, look at all the leaves in my yard. Look at the neighbor's yards. So I got the worst yard on the street. And I got a 17-year-old son. And Ray said, I knew I was going to get in this sermon. Here's Paul. Paul at court. And he's telling his story. He's giving his testimony. You're going to have a chance this Christmas season to give your testimony. You know what? Know how I know that? Because God will. You want to answer prayer? Say this. God, send somebody to me so I can tell them about Jesus. I guarantee you, that God will answer that one. He will answer that. All you got to do is step out of the house. And God will send folks that need to hear Jesus, because the world we live in, the Bible said the harvest is truly plentiful. But the laborers are few. Here's Paul. He's on court. He's on trial. He's on trial before King Agrippa. And he's giving his testimony now. Now, if you was here Friday, you heard a little bit of this. So I'm going to give you just a little bit more. He says this. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Now, Paul was on his way to kill folks. Okay? I saw a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journey with me. I'm in Acts 26:12. I'm sorry. Verse 14 now. Watch this. He says this. And I said, and when we were all falling down to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me. You heard that voice? Saying in the Hebrew tongue. Here we go. He made sure Paul understood. Okay? This wasn't a Pentecostal tongue. This wasn't an Assembly of God's tongue. Okay? This was a Hebrew tongue. Y'all don't miss this stuff. Y'all folk running around here talking about they have the gift of speaking in tongues. They don't.
Amen.
They make a noise.
Amen.
Put a tape recorder on them and take what they say down to YSU to the communication department. You won't hear nothing. Then the man will say, this is some gobbledygook.
Amen.
Add me a new word, gobbledygook. Folks, I make light of this stuff, and I probably shouldn't. That's why I tell you, if y'all plan on being popular, Jake, if you plan on running for mayor of Campbell, you probably better get out of here now, take your wife and kids. So they find out you come here, they're going to say, man, you go to a crazy church. Jackie, you better leave now, Jake. Listen. Now, I ain't going there. We got company. We got a guest. I don't want her to go. She may leave here. Let me tell you something about Christian Bible Baptist. That preacher crazy over there. Okay? Listen. Now here's Paul. He said, and when we were all falling to the earth, he said, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. I'm stuck on that. Saul. Saul. Why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. Some of y'all kicking against the prick right now.
Amen.
You're hearing the word of God, and you're like, I can't get it. And I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. If you save, you got a purpose. Okay? God didn't save you to sit. To make thee a minister and a witness of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. Now, Paul's talking to the King Agrippa. He's got an opportunity to probably beat this case. But watch this now. He's sending his Paul's mission, and it's yours. And it's yours, Columbus. It's yours, Minister Madison. Minister Madison, Minister Bryan, Dave Jagus. It's everybody in here. If you're a child of God, you are a mission. What's the mission? Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Amen. Folks, under the power of Satan, we got the power of God. And the word of God said, greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, but we're not doing it. Paul did it. Watch what Paul says now. Paul says this. He says, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. John 3:16, Ephesians 2:8-9, John 14:1-6. All that is in that verse. And then Paul, with the gift of obedience, with the gift of obedience, Paul says this, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. See, I hear people all the time talking to me, I got a vision, I seen this, and God said this, and God told me this, and you living like a fool. Well, how can you get a heavenly vision and be so disobedient? Because Paul said, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Watch what he did. But showed first unto them in Damascus, 10 cities, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea. He didn't have no Learjet. Okay? He had no Learjet like Creflo and Kenneth Copeland. He had no Learjet. See, these folks flying around, they're not going to go to Damascus or Jerusalem as a golf course. Paul was on foot and on horseback, and he went to Damascus and Jerusalem, watch this, and throughout all the coasts of Judea and to the Gentiles. That why? That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. See, Paul didn't do like a Billy Graham concert. He didn't call everybody come down. They just start flowing down. Then he goes to the next city. No, Paul taught him, listen. You're going to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You're going to live like it. They want to come down. Stay up there. That's why I don't do all the altar calls. Don't come down here sitting in these chairs. These ain't magic chairs. Ain't nothing happening if you ain't got it before you sit in them. Thank you, Vaughn. Paul said this. I'm just being real. That they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. See, there's a doing part of it. See, a lot of preachers don't like to talk about the doing part, but there's a doing part. When you know better, you do better. Okay? When you know better, you do better. Now, folks, listen, let me close. Because we need Jesus. We need the gift of obedience. We need the gift of God's grace. We need the gift of God's mercy. You know, listen, we need the gift of my sins forgiven. How about this one? How about this one? Psalms 32, I believe. David was a wicked man. Did some crazy stuff. But God still saved us a man after my own heart. We got hope. I always say we got hope with David. Because if he'd have said, Joseph, or Daniel was a man after my own heart, we'd have been hard-pressed to find some fault. Well, he said, David is a man after my own heart. He could have said Daniel because I know Daniel was. And he could have said Joseph. But he said David for us. Okay? He said David for us. Because David needed to be cleansed and he needed to be purged and he needed to be washed. And then David said this. This great verse. This is a great verse here. This is when I preached at my father's funeral. I just thought this was great because I used to tell my dad, Dad, you can't die without your sins being forgiven. You can't die without your sins being forgiven. Now you're running around here, you mad at folks. Okay? It's easy now. Text them. Text them. Now you ain't got to go to their house. You text them. Keep texting till they respond back. And if they say, don't text me no more, you done your part. Amen. I am sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean it. God has spoke to my heart. God has given me a new heart. And I just want to extend forgiveness to you. And if they say, don't text me no more, you've done your part. Because David said this in Psalms 32:1. Blessed. Blessed. Happy. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How about that? Whose sin is covered. Why? You can't walk into heaven with uncovered sin. So you can't. Your sins need to be covered. They need to be covered now. Yes. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man, watch this now, whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. No guile. No trickery. No vanity. No emptiness. No games being played. See some folk playing games. And you're going to get to stand in front of the Lord and your sins ain't going to be covered. And you've been playing games all your life. And you got all these folks you mad at. Just going to heaven mad. Fist, hands balled up. Get out of here. Amen. Bound him and cast him into everlasting darkness, where they're gnashing of the teeth. Listen, here's what happens when you don't. Here's what happens when you walk around here and you wonder why your back hurt, your neck hurt, not your knees. I get in trouble. Headaches all the time and mad all the time and anger issues and just crazy. Here's what happens. And here's the reason. Your sins ain't forgiven. Sin's not covering you. Sin will eat you alive. Folks die of unforgiveness. Amen. Many of folks that die for an unforgiving heart. I told you the story about a psychiatrist who said, you know, if all these folks that come see me, if they would just forgive some people. Most folks come to see a psychiatrist, they got a problem with somebody else. Uh-huh. My daddy. I'm living with my foster parents. I'm living with my uncle, and he make me wake the leaves and all that. Ray gonna give me. I gotta buy himself for Christmas now. Whatever you want, Ray. He be like, yeah, say my name again. I'm making a list. Listen what happens when you walk around here mad at folks. How many folks in here right now mad at some people? Y'all here like, I ain't mad at nobody. You know? Ashley like these folks, oh, here come that pen, do the line again. Can't stand them. Nah. You got customers like that, Dave? You look happy to see them, ain't you? Here's what happens. When I kept silence, when I didn't repent, when I didn't ask God to forgive me, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Folks, listen. Ask God to forgive you. God has forgiven you. Do likewise. Do likewise. Now, let me ask this one. How about the gift of eternal life? I know I'm carrying on these gifts. I love Christmas. I love gifts. I love gifts and all that, buying gifts. I just do. I just like it. Watch what Paul says in Romans 6. Here's a good one. Paul says in Romans 6:22. I'm going to let y'all go. I know what time it is. Browns ain't playing today. Romans 6:22. Watch this. Now, but now being made free from sin.
Somebody said the Browns don't play no Sundays. I heard you.
But now being made free from sin. That's it. That's us. Jake, that's us. Amen. We've been made free from sin. Why? To become servants to God. And you have your fruit unto holiness in the end. Everlasting life. Now watch this now. For the wages of sin is death. Sin paid good. But God paid better. But the gift of God. Christmas time. But the gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give me the gift of eternal life. You can ask for it. Ask for it. God is faithful. How are we going to get these gifts out? You got to preach them. You got to preach them. You got to preach them. Listen. Jesus is a hard taskmaster. Jesus was hard on me. Jesus was hard on the apostles. Watch what he said to this. To the 11 now. He's talking to the 11. Y'all know why it's only 11. Okay? Judas gone. He got upset. He wasn't getting paid. He was in a prosperity preacher. He wasn't getting paid. So I can't do number 30 pence. Mark 16:15. I'm going to let y'all go. Watch this now. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them. Why? With their unbelief and hardness of heart. They was not doing what he called them to do. He told them to do. And then he said, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. Amen. And in verse 15, he said this. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth. Now watch this now. You better preach it in a way they understand it. Because you can't understand what you don't believe. Amen. And you can't believe what you don't understand. If I said it wrong the first time. You can't believe what you don't understand. He said, preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Mm-hmm. Shall be damned. I'm done. I don't have no closing. Merry Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christ came into this world to die. To die, not for just dying, but to die for our sins. So we wouldn't have to die in our sins. He died for our sins so that we would not have to die in our sins.